Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The motion to approve the minutes of the November 10th meeting?
So moved.
Favor?
Aye.
Those? Assuming there's no grievances?
No grievances.
Move on to Wendy, real property.
Morning.
Morning.
First, the Wayland assessor recently resigned her position, so the town is asking for our office to do some clerical work until they are able to find a replacement. This would not involve any assessing functions. It's just entering sales, transfers of ownership, escrows, photos and board, things like that. We've done it for Corning City before. We charge back. We keep track of the time we spend, and we're charging back at a rate of $37.86 per hour. And they would invoice them monthly on that.
So would this contract be open-ended?
It's stated until the end of
Kelly
2021
Foote.
As needed.
Join the meeting.
The town has already taken it to a meeting and approved it, so.
I'll move it.
Anything else?
How did you calculate the amount we charge back?
It's sort of on a rate per one of our employees. And taking in a little bit of fringe.
Yeah, just
join
a little bit.
Meeting.
That wouldn't be the full fringe 100%. So we talked at the beginning about doing an hourly rate for the employee plus a little fringe and to cover admin and other things.
Okay, thank you.
What is the town's long-term plan to fix this?
They have advertised in the newspaper, and there's also a state assessors association that has a job listing there on their online website.
Well, let's admit that they're hard to come by, certified ones. Mm-hmm.
Our pool is not very big anymore either.
Motion and second. Any other questions for Wendy? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Secondly, I was asking to possibly change some fees, eliminate a couple of fees that we charge for GIS data. This came about annually. We provide GIS data, the parcel layers, boundaries, all that digital to the state, the New York State GIS coordinator. She broached the subject that maybe we could provide some of this data free to the public. The idea is to promote economic development, make it easier for people looking to find sites for development, gather data. And we have a lot of this already online through the GIS layers or the GIS online maps. So we would want to possibly eliminate the countywide. We currently charge $250 for a countywide layers GIS data with ownership. And then this includes municipal boundaries, special district boundaries, school district land hooks. This, we're not currently receiving a lot of requests in income over the past couple of years. The average is about 700 and between 775 and 800 for those. So it's not a really big revenue generator to begin with.
But clarify for me, Wendy, because I'm not following. So you're proposing to raise the fees to what we're seeing here? That's the same amount.
No, we're going to, the one countywide digital information with ownership is currently $250. We would eliminate that and then charge $250 for a real property geo database with adding that would, we hardly ever get any requests for that. Federal and state wetlands, hydrography, road center line, soils, slopes, and other, you know, additional things that are not usually in the other request. And then we were thinking that since we're reviewing the fees, to also review the paper and digital section map prices. There are currently 25 counties that provide the GIS data free of charge. I think a couple of nearby, maybe Cayuga and Chautauqua, Erie.
So Wendy, not to interrupt, essentially what are the major changes from what we did to what we're doing now or what you're proposing?
Well, currently, if someone wants the entire county in the digital format of all the mapping layers with the property ownership data, we charge them $250 for that. This would be available online. We would be controlling it through through our IT and the GIS server that we have. So the state GIS department would just direct people there. For instance, this Catherine that we spoke with, she mentioned there was a Verizon contractor, independent contractor, trying to find sites for different cell towers for the 5G without being able to download and access this data easily. It makes this job harder, and you know the cost is trickled down to everyone.
And we've seen more requests for digital information than you know providing in hard copy and others. So it just you know makes sense to us.
So you'd be eliminating the $500 costs on the geo database. Yeah. You're lowering it to $250.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And then taking the countywide with an ownership table to zero.
Right.
And then what about it says tax parcels, $25 per municipality with ownership table.
That would also be gone.
Zero. And this is data that the regular taxpayer or person on our website cannot get.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, with the ArcGIS, the database, we have a lot of good information that people can get for free, you know, just navigate. But these are more of the special requests. Again, not a lot of revenue for us and not looking to soak the taxpayers with it. But obviously, there's time involved in running some of these things. So it's just essentially capturing costs.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Any other questions? What do you project the lost revenues would be based on that fee change, roughly?
Well, just the GIS digital data that we've given in the past 2 years, the most we've had is $800.
You're not.
So.
Any other questions? John?
Yep. Yeah, we only have a few thousand budgeted to begin with.
We could start a GoFundMe if we need.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it is limited, the requests and where they come from.
Right.
So, you know, not everyone has a need for that data.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Wendy. Next up, Matt.
Right. So, back in September, as a result of our 3-year FTA compliance review, was recommended to us by DOT that we update our Title VI plan and the administrative code pursuant to the Title VI plan. And we did that, and you adopted it. And then DOT reviewed our Title VI plan and told us that they were missing some sections that were required. So I am back here to amend that plan pursuant or amend the administrative code pursuant to the Title VI plan to include those missing sections.
And we went back and forth with DOT back before it was presented to you, and all indications were it looked good, and then it wasn't. So
now
you provided us a sample, and that's what we used when we amended it in September.
Right. And I've had this copy. I have had DOT review, and it's gotten the all clear. So
we'll see you in a couple months again.
So, right. Assuming I wasn't lied to, we should be good.
I'll move it.
Second.
If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah, right. I'm going to need it.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Next up, Brenda.
Good morning. Back morning. Again with retirement reporting. Did you all receive my email?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as usual, they changed the rules midway through. So, I'm asking for your approval of Mr. Ferratella's ROA and forwarding that resolution to the full legislature.
I'll move it.
Second.
So we're approving his retirement plan reporting. So what exactly does that mean? So he's reporting how many hours he's worked and?
Yes, you apparently now are required, the legislature is required to review and make sure that what he is reporting is allowed under their regulations.
And you've done that? Yes. Okay. I don't want to approve something that I haven't really.
I usually just take a glance through, but I've always held the position where I'm not the time police. And if you're going to report something, you know, I'm usually just go through and I make sure that what they add up for their hours is accurate.
Yeah.
And take a slight glance through to see what they're reporting to make sure there's nothing that jumps out at me, but I am not going to go through and
check every day.
If they were part-time and reporting 50 hours a week or full-time, yeah, I mean, you know, you'd see that. But once you get into the range of a full-time versus part-time, it's kind of what they report. I mean, you know, if it's certainly if it's over, if it's reported under, I mean, that is what it is. If it's, you know, that's what they estimate they work. If it's reported over, you know, that's when Brenda will.
And we've had instances where we've had a part-time employer or employee have, you know, maybe over 40 hours in a week because they were on a trial that we assigned them to. But, you know, it's not a constant thing. So.
So now we're the time police.
Yes. As much the time police as I am the time police. So
great.
I'm just making sure that we go through the steps.
We need a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Motion.
Mary did it.
And you seconded it.
You seconded it.
Sorry, my bad.
Aye.
I did it again.
I abstain. I'm a relative.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rob. Come on down.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Training last meeting.
Okay. A little earlier this year, beginning of the year, we got a new firewall. Did everybody receive the letter I sent out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. That was good. Good job.
I mean, these are the highlights. There's a lot more that went on during the year, the 11 months. We are looking now to get away from this manufacturer. The way I would like to pay for this is through a grant. It was through the elections board. It's a cybersecurity remediation grant. And that amount was listed in there, $85,000. So I'm asking for approval to go forward with this. We still need to get approval from the grant source to purchase this. But when we were going through the grant, firewalls were on the list of approved items.
So this would be, you're asking for approval subject to the grant funds being received?
No, it's 100% payback grant. So we would have to purchase it and then get reimbursed.
Yeah. And
not purchase it until I got approval from the grants saying that it is an allowable purchase.
And this is one that actually, I mean, as a user, Rob and Cody and their team have done a great job troubleshooting, but it's just been an astronomical amount of work and the functionality is still, you know, really tricky, especially when you're remote. The issues that the firewall has with the VPN are significant. So, you know, I personal opinion is, you know, even if the grant didn't reimburse it, it's a needed expense.
I'll make a motion that we buy it and hopefully get the grant.
I'll second.
I do have another thing to say. So there were two options, the 1 year and the 3 year. With the 1 year option, the estimated renewal for years 2 and 3 is $31,700. So if we went with the 3 year option right away, we would save the county $14,780.
3 years in that motion.
Yeah, I didn't see the letter that you sent out. So could you give me an explanation? Is this the firewall that we bought a year ago, the software, and now it wasn't functional? Is that what you're telling me?
It's a firewall that we purchased last December.
And how much was that cost?
If I remember right, it was around $52,000.
So we're scrapping that by the...
Yeah.
How much is the new one?
The three-year option is $44,505.27. And I also I have, which was not, I just received these last night, professional installation services for the one I wish to purchase, which is the Fortinet or the FortiGate. The main company is Fortinet. I got two quotes for professional services to help install that. From the Fortinet company, the total cost was $37,200. Through the company that I would like to purchase this through, the cost was $14,850. And this is all through a national contract, NCPA. So I have talked to Andy about that, and that's he's good with that. So I would like to also include the professional services from Networking Technologies, which was the $14,850. Just to make sure it's completely installed correctly the first time.
Is that motion, Gary? To
yeah, I'll amend my motion.
So I think the question that comes to my mind is, how confident are you in this firewall?
I'm very confident. The Gartner reports say it's in the leader quadrant. All of BOCES Section 5.
Yeah. So Erie One BOCES, the ones who basically manage all the IT for most of the school districts, Chatham Central School District is one, and of course another, leads all the way up to basically level. They all use Fortinet, which is the one that we're leading towards now. I've reached out to some of the other directors, as well as the Bath Central School District. They're very happy. We're definitely not encountering any of the issues with the firmware that we're currently experiencing with the one that we have. So we're pretty confident this will be successful.
Are we going to incur any costs to remove the software for the old one?
No additional costs, no.
No. So it's kind of all wrapped into one. I'm assuming you have to get rid of the old one and then put in the new one.
We would completely configure the new one. Hopefully we can do that side by side for testing prior to implementation. And then we do a cutover. It will require us to install new clients on all the laptops that are used for VPNs. Mm-hmm. So there will be a transition period.
Okay. And is that why we've been like losing our email and not having access to things? Is that all relating back to this firewall issue?
Yes.
The pain.
We really, really need to get away from it.
We have seconded Gary's amended.
I did. I think I seconded it. And yes.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Just one question for Rob. Do you think the grant will cover the whole cost if it's allowed?
Yes. Yep.
Hear me? Vicki or Kelly?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Go ahead. You're up.
Okay. I'm coming to you to ask you to approve the purchase of a complete new voter registration system. The voter registration system that we have right now, a little background. Apparently, we used to have our own homegrown IT version of a voter software. And at some point, the state came forward and said that that system also had to be able to link and communicate with their NICE voter system. And IT said that it was easier for the board to move over to NTS. And so that's what happened. NTS is the only, has been the only provider for basic voter registration since then. We now have some new companies coming on. NTS started a new update called Suite. We purchased it a couple of years ago. It has still not been finished. The system itself, all I can explain is they basically built it in a box and boxed themselves in. And then they, with Suite, it seems like they've built another box. And now we're working out of two boxes and nothing has been coherent. And the system is very clunky, to say the best. I mean, it's really been very frustrating to work in. We have a new system, it's called Next Vote. We have seen it, they have presented it at the conferences. They've come here and done a demonstration for our election district, and we're District 5, so all of the counties in our area came and they did a demo there. It is at the bottom. I mean, it's the starting point. Some of the very nice features are, it is something that can be changed and things added as it goes along, which are things we've been asking for right along with NTS and have not gotten at all. Even in their upgrade, it has not, we've not received the things we've been asking for years. The system will use all of the equipment that we already have. We do not have to buy any more equipment. We don't have to, and it'll actually be more friendly for laptop users compared to what we have right now, because with the laptops, the team program, things are, buttons are at the bottom and you have to really reduce your screens. This also gives us some more options. Like this year we have petitions, we have 200 and some offices up, and it has a petition system, which NTS has, and I've heard nothing but terrible things, so I'm hoping that this one is way better. One of the other things is we are looking at doing redistricting. The way we would do redistricting now is basically paper format and trying to figure out how many registered, and then if that doesn't work, then having to reformulate it. With this system, with the GIS, we can actually literally draw lines on a map on each street and road, and it will actually tell us how many registered voters we have within that range. The state board actually at the conference was very, very pleased with the system, and they have started to do, they've already looked at the system. The company has worked with the state. They've already been doing, they've already done like a migration of all of the data from one county to make sure the migration doesn't get lost, the data doesn't get lost, that it's transferred over correctly. So we are very, very hopeful, and we are, the system looks very promising, and I believe you guys all got the email on what they sent us. And so for 2021, there is no cost for us to go to this. So I guess your thoughts, questions.
The only other thing, Vicki, to mention is the cost of the current NTS system that's built into your budget, the annual maintenance cost.
So right now, our yearly cost that we're paying right now is $34,925. The Suite part of it is an additional cost that we paid with grant money. And that was at a reduced rate of $4,950, which at the end of that part of that contract, which is 2021, their fee schedule, that will jump to $9,000 on top of the $34,000. So the cost of what they're asking for, even for 2022 and I believe 2023, is comparable to what we are paying NTS right now.
How many How many functions will this software manage that you're currently having to do via paper?
I'm not even sure where to begin. A lot. And it also gives us the ability to do a lot more reports and things that we now literally are having to go to one place to get numbers for one thing and then manipulate them into an Excel spreadsheet and then go somewhere else and get them and put them in an Excel spreadsheet in order to have the numbers and reports of the things that we want. Another one of the very nice things with this system is we have to send letters out to voters all the time. And right now that's a very manual process with this system. If we get an incomplete voter registration form, when we click the box, it will automatically do the letter and print the letter out. And it will also put the letter in the back file itself. So it's not like we have to do the letter, scan it in, put it in their back file, mail it out. The system will do it all in itself, which is a huge time saver. There are just so many things and a lot of things that this system offers that we don't even have now with Suite, with NTS.
Vicki, there's quite a few components to this system. Do you feel you'll be using all of them?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Will this eliminate any part-time people?
No. No, the part-time people that come in and help us, they're helping us do test decking on the machines. They're helping us like with the absentee ballots when they come in, opening the envelopes, timestamping the documents, helping us stuff, you know, envelopes and that kind of that. That's not going to go away. That's still going to be because that has nothing to do with the system itself.
So you also said that at the demo, you had a number of counties. How many counties are using the system currently? Do you know?
Chenango is getting it. And I believe Dutchess County is also getting it. They wanted to start off the first year with just a couple and make sure that they have everything right and everything's correct and running right before they go to it. But I can tell you that there are majority of counties that want this system.
So, Vicki, this is Robin. Does NextVote system syncs into the state election board database? Yeah. Okay.
Everything has to be reported to NiceVoter.
So having said that, and we would be like one of the first test counties. I think right now in everybody's mind, the voters are concerned about security.
Yes.
So what can you do? What can you say to address security questions? Getting hacked?
Well, basically a lot of that falls back on the county firewalls. The system will be on its own server. And so the system itself, I don't know, is Kelly, are you on from NextVote? She was supposed to be on. I don't know if she's listening.
Yes. Yes, we actually had. Can you guys hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Yes. So my name's Kelly. I was, just so you all know, I was a former commissioner of Madison County for the last 5 years. And I just left in January to help build this system because I was so frustrated with the current system. And so, yes, we have to follow all of New York State guidelines. So the New York State Board of Elections is the one who sets our security parameters. We're actually already in a better place. I don't know if you've heard Chenango, where they were ransomware. So they did not receive their voter registration data system until the day of the election. We are actually web-based, but it's off at you guys' own server. So we would have had the ability to get that information to them fast. So we're working with the IT department at the state to, they're actually rewriting a lot of their security features based on, we're kind of helping them because there's been no competition in this and they haven't, they weren't ready for, they were ready. They just didn't have in writing how to approve a new system. So we're working with them and we're just about 90% there on talking with the state. And it's pretty much an all-in-one. Anything I was doing in a mail merge, anything that I was printing labels for as a commissioner, we were building into this to make their job easier. So, and just so you know, all of the commissioners throughout New York State helped build this as well throughout the last year. Anything that drove them nuts about their current system, they emailed me and we are building into it.
So are you suggesting that there would be more aspects added to this program?
Yeah, it's an agile development, our software. So where our current system, their current system, I still say our, like I'm a commissioner, their current system, they're lucky if they get an update a year. And when they did their update, they actually just had to build a brand new part of it. And so now they're working off two systems. We have the ability of, you know, which Vicki and Kelly said right off the bat, I want this. I want to know when there's a comma added. I want certain items. We have about a 2 week to 1 month sprint that anything these Board of Elections request, we have the ability to build into our system easily. So we say it's never done. It's just always going to be updated based on their needs, which we know and would just happen in the absentee world. You know, we're already ready for that. You know, a history of the signatures, the family household signatures. So we're pretty much ready. We're in California, Texas. California, by the way, is a vote by mail state. So we were already ready for stuff like that. But it's pretty exciting. I think that, for me, I want to, Dutchess is a huge county. They want us bad. Shenango, we're already working with them, and they were really the pilot county. What we're thinking with you guys is you have such good commissioners that work so well, and your deputies, everybody, they are always sending ideas. So really, I think they're going to help master it in little things that they want to see added that, they don't need to work right now, but they're going to help build it and make it even better.
So this is held up.
So when these changes are suggested by the local commissioners and you integrate them into the software in the 2 week to 4 month window, is it then pushed down to every licensed holder or is it just pushed back to the commissioners that asked for the change?
It's pushed out to everybody, but they have the option to turn on and off fields if they don't want it.
Okay. All right.
But I will say, if a commissioner thinks of it, it probably another commissioner didn't think of it and probably will want it too. So, yeah.
So, I have a question.
Sure.
So, does this product exist now?
Yes.
Or are we a beta test site?
Nope. Shenango's the beta. We migrated Shenango's information. We've been working with the state. What happened was we were 90% there in the migration and testing, and then the more and more executive orders were coming. And obviously, when they turned the absentee world upside down, the state had to build portals and they were already short on people and made cuts. And so they actually put a little bit of a halt to everything. And then they realized Shenango needed us because they already signed with us. So the state is extremely excited with us. They're working with us on probably every 2 weeks we have calls with them, Zoom meetings, and they are actually they're telling Chenango County, just to be safe, to go 6 months with NTS, the current system, but they are looking to approve us. You don't need to be certified in New York State to use us. You need to be approved. And they're looking to have it all finalized within the first quarter, hopefully by January 31st. And we have all the modules. We have the poll worker scheduling. We have the GIS for redistricting. We have the petitions part of it, mapping. We have all the parts that are not required to be approved that they will be able to use throughout the year. On top of, one of the biggest things I found as a commissioner is every year at the end of the year, you have to do an annual report for the state. And we had to go to all these different places to get these numbers needed. So I pretty much built into the system every report needed for the state. So they can easily just bring it up. It would took them probably a month to do, should take less than a week.
So
that part of it is good.
These modules, mm-hmm. do we pay for each module? And then how do we have to test those as soon as we get them?
Nope. All the modules are included in one package where they're not in the current system that they have. It's all in one. And what happens is why we did a zero price for 2021 is all these counties that end in 2021, we have about, I would say, five that want us now, but I feel like the ones that end in 2021 are the smarter ones. This is a town year for elections, which we know is important for you guys, but it's a good year to go in, start migrating, testing all the information, which we have already done with Chenango, all the full docs, follow through, everything is migrating. So what happens is as soon as we were to get approved, we'll start bringing the voter registration part of it over and migrating the information. And with the contract not ending till the end of 2021, it actually gives us quite a bit of time to just nonstop do it every week. So they can play with it, and it's not all having a whole new product and having to learn it all in a couple weeks. So with the contract ended in 2021 and being a former commissioner, I thought that was the best way to do it with county.
So Vicki, are you proposing that should this be adopted, that you would take each individual module or each individual task and transition it over and make sure you're comfortable with it before you go on to the next one? Or are we just switching over everything all at once?
Well, a lot of the things that they're offering us, we don't even have now. So like we're going into petition season that's coming right up in February, and a lot of you are up this year. So right now, trying to keep track of petitions and who's filed and all of the different things, those are right now numerous Excel spreadsheets. And every time you have to go do something or do a mailing or do something else, we have to keep going back to these Excel spreadsheets and trying to, you know, tweak them to do what we need to do and get the information off from them. So some of these are systems that we don't even have now that we will be able to go in and use. The poll worker system that they have, the one that we have right now is horrific, and that's all I can say. It is absolutely terrible, and there has been no updates to it, no changes to it, and the system is just awful. So, you know, and like the redistricting, that is all things that we can go in and we can use, and also if we have, you know, if we need things that there aren't there, they can fix them for us and give them to us. So we will be, like other things, we'll be playing with it. The voter registration, that piece will come. Hopefully we'll have that stuff all done and migrated by March or whatever. But so yeah, so we'll be using the system. A lot of what they're giving us to start, we don't even have. So that's just something for us to go in and learn.
So go over again for me the cost and budgeting.
Okay, so for 2021, there is no cost.
Heard that.
So, and for 2022, the total cost is $40,000, which is less than what it will cost us for NTS at the current figures that I have for NTS. And then 2023, it will be somewhere around $47,000.
And just if I could just say something on the pricing, I found when I left the Board of Elections that the NTS numbers, when everybody was sending me their contracts, were all over the place. It was some counties paying 30 cents a voter, some were paying a dollar a voter. There was no consistency. I felt you should look at a chart and you should know based on your county numbers exactly what you should be paying. So when you see the 47, what we're doing is instead of what NTS did and do, they would do maybe a 12 or 15% increase in 1 year, 5% in 1 year. What we're doing is we're doing it based on your numbers. So really, if the numbers go down, total registration, you could have your price go down. So we're basing it on the voter roll rather than just a set amount that, and just so you know, this was an unprecedented year. So this obviously voter registration is up a lot, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of years. It's sad to say, you all know that in a town year, you don't get that voter registration like you do, and maybe it'll pop up in a governor's year. So that's the way we're doing it, rather than a 3% increase every single year.
So, the one question I have is the slide that says migration testing and training fee. At the bottom of it, it says migration testing and training is split up into 4 years at $6,200 a year. So that's another $25,000. Is that on top of the zero cost for 2021 and the $47,000 or $40,000 for 2022 and $47,000 for 2023 and beyond?
Yeah, there obviously, when you get a new software system, the migration and testing is a big part of it. If you've seen it with any other department, even the poll pads have that as well. We thought with COVID and being a commissioner and working with county government that it's just not a good thing to, obviously with sales tax down, to go throw a huge migration fee to county. So that's why we offered to spread it out throughout every year to not have that initial big cost in a year like this year or next year. I figure it'll take you guys years to make up for.
If I understand this, Vicki, we're going to maintain the system we currently have into 2021 and pay those fees, bring this new system in and not pay a fee other than the $6,200 for migration and testing. And then we will drop the old system mid-year or what?
Yeah, our contract ends at the end of 2021 with NTS. And so we just...
Okay, so we're going to have those same costs that we currently budgeted for plus $6,200 more for the migration and testing fees on this new system next year. Right. And then after that, it's almost a wash other than, well... Yeah, it's almost a wash, even given the migration fee. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Vicki, one more question from Kelly. Will this software and this system help you produce results from the elections faster, given all the crazy changes?
That's a great question. No. I got to tell you. That is the call from most of the commissioners to me. And we don't want any part of election night reporting right now. I feel like even with the current system they have, they tried kind of going into the poll pad world and you know, I was so irritated. I'm like, in Madison County paying $45,000 a year for 40,000 voters. And I'm like, wait a second, you got to master your system before you go into another part. So we definitely will be looking at that later on. But I feel like we need to master the voter registration. Clean data, clean, you know, voter records is the most important, and a kind of a neat little function that we do have that will, when you think of the time saver, when these guys are importing DMVs daily, which is insane what they're doing, they have to open the NICE voter state system and go into it and look up that voter before they can do anything with it. We're actually going to be doing that for them. So the state was really excited about that as well. So we definitely, there's lots of little things I want to do because I know what's needed, even something like a poll worker signing up on the website. That would be my next thing rather than election night reporting to save these guys from phone calls. So there's things that are going to happen later on, not now. I think we need to master the voter registration first. And I think it's going to kind of trickle fast throughout New York State because, like I said, NTS has 50 counties out of the 62, and there's no competition.
Just one other question. So the voter registration system, as you're updating it and making changes and making it more accurate, then would we expect registered voters who have passed away to be removed from those lists sooner?
I got to tell you, the hugest thing with that, Vicki, don't you think it should be a requirement for the health department or to send all of this to the boards?
Yeah, it's the deceased. I will tell you that I am very proud of my staff. They are very much on top of the deceased. They we get the stuff that we get through the state board, but they also do check our local newspapers and things in our funeral homes because a lot of them do not post obituaries in the newspapers. But one of the problems is that that the public health department is required by law to submit that information to the state board. And the time delay that happens is huge. We can get that from the state board and it can be 3 months old or older. And if they die out of state, we may never get the information.
And that's not really a function of public health because public health is waiting on the death certificate, and that is not a quick process.
So that it's very frustrating to us that we cannot, you know, somehow or another get that information in a more timely manner. But we do our definite due diligence to make sure that our deceased are removed off from our rolls as soon as we are aware of them.
Robin?
So, Mr. Chairman, I may rue the day, but I'll move it.
Okay. One second.
I'll second.
Any other questions?
I see on absentee ballots, how accurate is it on the system for that to verify that it's really their signature? Because I hear some is 80%, some is 40%. What kind of accuracy does this have to verify that is actually the person signing signature matching?
Okay, so currently, I mean, we've always checked when we get an absentee ballot application against the signatures we have on file. This year has definitely been a whole nother ballgame because one, a lot of the signatures we now get are coming from DMV. So I don't know when the last time you might have been to DMV and actually signed an actual document was, because that's the signature that they send to us. So somebody can be 30 years old and they are sending us the signature from when they originally got their driver's license. So the signatures that we get are very outdated. And of course, this year they opened up the absentee portal, which meant we got no signature on the application, and every single absentee ballot that came back, we had to go into the file and we actually had to look at their signature. And if the signature that we pulled up, which would normally be put in the poll book, does not match. We literally were going and looking back at every single document in their back file to see if there was a pattern, if there was a similarity. Of course, this year they also, of course, had people scared half to death, you know. Make sure you sign your legal name so people all of a sudden will sign their name differently than how they sign it on an everyday basis. And we spent a lot of time actually looking and reviewing like signature after signature after signature in a person's voter file. So actually one of the things that I had spoke to Kelly about was, is there any way for us to see those signatures all at once? And something else that I had asked her probably about a year ago was, is there any way to put the information as to the date where we receive that signature so that we know? Because right now all we have is a signature. We don't know where it came from, when we got it. So we asked for them to, you know, if the signature is updated from the 2020 general election, I want a note that says that's where it came from, when we got it. So we know that that is a current up-to-date signature, so that if somebody is looking at it, they know where we received it, we know when we got it, or we know how old it is. We may have a signature on file that's 20 years old and they've never been in to vote since then. But we don't, when we're looking at the signatures, we don't really have a way to verify that.
And also to add to that is when these guys are taking in absentee ballots, and they're scanning the barcode, just the name and the voter ID number comes up. Mm-hmm. With us, the signature is going to come up right away for like 5 seconds. So immediately they can verify the signature. If they don't think that signature is a match, they can put it aside. And then they have the ability to immediately have a history of signatures with, yes, Vicki, the source date of where it came from, the source and the date. So they will know right away where that came from. And lots of times we have requests of, we even have people that say, oh, this was the father's signature. So we have the ability to bring up the entire household signature. So right there is such a huge, it's so huge in the absentee world, on top of with what you see going on right now in the congressional 22nd, which I'm a little sad to not be part of. No. But that is a huge thing, because the parties needed ahead of time the history of that voter to compare prior to the absentee counting. So we're actually, based on the county, going to queue up all of that stuff when they receive the ballot. So if they do need it, it can be printed right away and save them time from going into each record and doing this.
Can I ask Carol, what's the length of the contract?
Was it for 5 years?
I think we put this out to 20. I think we put it out to 2025, yes, just to spread out that migration. And I know they're not going to want to leave us anyhow.
That's 4 years.
But 4 years, yes, 4 years, sorry. But NTS was doing 5 years. We felt that was long, but obviously with you guys approving, it's really, you know, year to year. But it would just be better to, for the migration fee to be spread out, we thought, with you guys.
Thank motion.
We had a motion. We had a motion and a second.
Yes.
So if there's no other questions, all in favor?
Going way too long.
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Motion's carried, Vicki.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Jack, you're up next.
Sure. I have a number of things for you. Contract renewals first. I have three of them for your consideration. Securitas is building security, so they provide off-hour security, weekend security. They also do provide, you know, in normal times, a couple people during the day for like DSS and some of the other areas. We pay prevailing wage. That rate hasn't changed, so it's the same rate as last year, but it does update every January and July. So July, it might go up a little bit, but right now, we haven't seen a change. So looking for reauthorization of that. We spend about $240,000 on that, of which DSS reimburses or draws down state reimbursement about $124,000.
Is that an annual contract?
Mm-hmm.
I'll second.
Now, has that changed with us not using them so much and so on? Or
no, because we still have off-hour security, and we still do supplement with the regular one or two people. Because, you know, we still are bringing people into the building.
Is the off-hour security only for this building and the main county office building?
So, right. It's essentially this complex. Okay. So they are stationed in there off hours, but they do every hour sweeps of all this building and the front buildings.
Are we going to consider changing to have a little sweep over by the mental health building under the circumstances from last week?
You know, we could look at it. We could look at it. The good news about over there is it's right across from the police station. So that helps. Obviously it didn't prevent what happened last week, mm-hmm. but that's normally been a good protective barrier for us too, is being right across from the police station.
No other questions. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Looking to renew contract with Parham Communications, same rate, $22,000, or not to exceed $22,000 annual.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. And the last one, Archive Social. If you recall, a couple of years ago, we partnered with this firm. They back up all of our social media activity. Comments and things like that. And we had the discussion about retention records and if we ever needed to produce. So they archive that for us. That cost is a little over $2,500 a year. So just looking to renew.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next up.
So appointments for your review. The first four are putting under me to put it on the agenda, but they're your appointments. The last one would be confirming one of our appointments. So you can see them listed, you know, and for the first four, for whatever it's worth, you know, they're all great to work with. So we would recommend, and for Mr. Sousa, recommending his provisional appointment. That is a tested position, but I have all the confidence in the world that he's a smart guy. So, but technically it's a provisional appointment until that test is taken.
So that's why there's a lack of a term on there.
Actually, under the charter, there is no term. The planning, anyone that doesn't have a term specified by the charter technically serves at my pleasure.
Okay. Right. As majority leader, I'd like to appoint Vicki. Make that a motion.
I'll second.
Are we taking these individually?
Sure. Yeah. It's going to go on your agenda separately. Well, Vicki and Kelly might go together. No, they're separate. Yeah, so separate is fine.
Let's consider them separately. Okay, so we have a motion and a second on Vicki Olin. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next is Kelly Penzul.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next up, Jennifer Prosek.
Motion.
Motion.
Beat ya.
Did I hear a second? Got it? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And Brenda Scotchmer?
Motion. No.
I don't know.
Okay. Second, whatever.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And Matt Sousa?
Make a motion.
Second.
Provisional. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Me.
Any other business to come before administration? Hearing none, And I call for an adjournment. Motion?
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 5 minute recess before we start finance.
Okay. All right. We're good.